Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to You've Got Hanks, the podcast about Tom Hanks, hosted by me, Rachel Chapman. And today on the podcast, it's a good one. I usually say, oh boy, and oh boy! We've got the co-host of Culture Kings. It's Jacquise Neal and Edgar Montplaisir.
Hey.
What's up, guys?
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
This is a big movie.
It's a big movie. It's a 3-hour long war movie.
Oh, yeah. It is 3 hours long. It's the same length as Titanic, which is also... but we're talking about Saving Private Ryan.
Yes. I like this movie more than Titanic.
You do?
I don't like Titanic.
I don't love Titanic either.
Yeah, I think James Cameron's overrated.
Yeah. I mean, I love Titanic, but, you know, I was a 7-year-old girl when the movie came out, and it hit me right in the good spot. You know? This is from 1998.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Have you guys seen this movie before?
No.
I had seen it.
Yeah.
Long time ago. And understandably never felt like I needed to see it again.
Yes.
but then I rewatched it for this. So
Sorry, it's been a while.
It's been a while. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Well, for anyone listening who hasn't seen it, I have a synopsis from IMDb so you can be caught up. Okay. It's following the Normandy landings, a group of U.S. soldiers go behind enemy lines to retrieve a paratrooper whose brothers have been killed in action. That accurate?
That's pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like there's like a lot, like this is my first time watching it.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot that like wasn't explained because like Anna woke up after I was done watching it. She's like, what were you just watching? I was like, oh, Saving Private Ryan. And she's like, why were they saving him? And I was like, you know what? I guess maybe like he's the last of his bloodline.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's just like, why did you take all of them in the first place?
Yeah. I think like watching it, I had to remind myself that this is like the 1940s.
Yeah.
So like from that standpoint, so many people were dying.
Yeah.
And it was a draft.
Yeah.
Right? That's
how
they
used it. Yeah, there was a draft.
Yeah. So like they had, so.
But why take all four? That's my question is like.
I don't know. Maybe some of them, maybe they volunteered.
Especially because the chief of staff had that letter from Abraham Lincoln where Abraham Lincoln felt hella guilty that he killed all this woman's sons.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, why were they just like, you know what? We should stop doing that.
Yeah.
And they took, because it wasn't like, well, I don't want to spoil. Well, I guess we're spoiling it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
but he Matt Damon wasn't a great soldier.
No.
He wasn't. He was the youngest of his brothers.
Yeah.
He wasn't like cluttered. It wasn't like they needed that dude. He was a private.
Yeah.
Well, the whole discussion throughout the movie is, why are we sacrificing all these people just for one guy?
Yeah.
He's not that special.
He's really, and he, and well, I wanted to save this take for the end, but remember how Tom Hanks is like, yo, make sure you earn it.
Yeah.
I sat for a good 30 minutes after the movie was over, and I was like, all he did was have some kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they had some kids. Yeah. Did he earn it?
Yeah, no. And and then broke down at the end.
Yeah. Am I a good man? And his wife's like, sure. Yeah.
I guess.
I married you.
Yeah. I don't know how you want me to answer that.
Yeah,
he didn't do shit, bro. He didn't do shit.
Yeah.
I don't think he earned it.
I wonder if we're all supposed to take that and be like, did we earn all those people sacrificing their lives for us?
I guess maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, if that's the question, then the answer is definitely no.
Yeah.
Because
oh, if you look at where we are now, no.
Yeah, because especially the way they portrayed death in this movie.
Yeah.
Some brutal deaths.
And meaningless. Absolutely meaningless.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. This is like, it reminded me a lot of one of my favorite movies from last year, First Man,
where
literally I feel like that movie was just like the space race was not worth it.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole premise of that movie. It's like all these dudes died for a very minuscule accomplishment.
Yeah.
Something that we haven't even really been able to easily repeat. And I think that this movie kind of makes the same argument of like, as great as it was that we beat the Germans, it cost a lot of lives and a lot of boneheaded decisions to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the Normandy plan was smart.
No. I mean, I don't know much about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it was, I wrote down. Oh, no, please say what you're going
to
say.
No, I think, well, I, had seen at least the first part of this movie before in high school. My social studies teacher or history teacher played it for us, the whole 27 minute long. Yeah. Which I don't know if you're allowed to show that in high school, but she did.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I guess since it's a movie, that shit was graphic. Yeah. Although I will say my favorite part of that whole thing is so callous. It is a dude. A dude who literally has his guts like hanging out of his body, and he's like trying to put them back, like in pain. And then one dude just sees he still has bullets on him and runs and snatches his bullets off,
and goes to run. That shit was fucked up. The other one I liked is when the dude was like, "Where's my arm?" And he goes, "Oh, I found my arm." And then he gets hit by a fucking grenade.
It was so brutal.
But I wrote down that they have the same exact strategy of attack. Like the D-Day strategy was very similar to the White Walkers strategy, which was just overwhelm the gate with bodies until they create a hole. And that's exactly what happened.
They just kept
throwing bodies at them until they were able to create a hole. And I think that's fucked up that the White Walkers and the U.S. Army had the same exact strategy.
That's pretty messed up. We got to do better, y'all.
Yeah. I think this was, Omaha was the worst of them. They stormed a lot of places, and Omaha was the worst one. And, of course, that's where Tom Hanks is in the movie. But I think it was more successful everywhere else. This was just, like, the worst.
Is this based on a true story?
I think the elements around it are true. Or was this real? They really saved this nigga Ryan?
Yeah. Well, not Ryan specifically, but there was a story of they saved, there was like two brothers that they, or one or something like that. I didn't write it down because for some reason I was like, I don't care about this. But it is based on a...
It's based on like elements.
True elements.
Yeah.
I mean, that Normandy storm, like that felt whole very real.
Beach scene was pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said that a lot of like veterans couldn't even watch the movie because it was so triggering.
It was so accurate. Yeah. It was so triggering. Yeah. Man. I mean, it is tricky. Look, 27 minutes of war.
I could not handle it.
Yeah. It was pretty intense just to watch that scene because like we're used to seeing death and blood and guns and violence and stuff like that. But I think this movie did a really good job in the beginning of that, with that scene, because it really felt like you actually felt what it was like to be in war and how dangerous it is, which I think a lot of war movies kind of sugarcoat a little bit how dangerous it can be. But some of these people were dying with no consequence.
No consequence.
And that's exactly how it would be. Like, there would be so much deaths and nobody would be there to mourn you. They would just be like, he got shot. I can't die. And I felt like this movie did that very well.
I felt super helpless watching it. I would be the worst. I'd immediately die.
I would immediately die, 100%. I mean, it was by design for that, right?
I mean,
like, they put all those privates out there because they're just like, just
mow them
down.
Just mow them down.
I would die immediately. Or I would just bone spur it up. Like, I can't go. I'm flat-footed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go to war. I wouldn't go to war.
But Jaquise, you're your mother's only child.
Yeah, so that,
so
that,
you could defer the draft.
Yeah.
I would thank her for that.
Yeah.
I'm a woman, so.
Edgar,
me
it's
as
on
a firstborn,
you.
Yeah. I'm
it's on you.
I'm definitely going. I'm the first of our child. Yeah, it is not going. I'm fucking going.
Yeah, it's all you. Yeah.
I read that this scene alone took 25 days to shoot. They shot it in order, and they had 1,000 extras, and a lot of them were amputees.
Oh.
So that they could show, like, people missing body parts.
That's trash. You know why else? You know why that's trash? Because Bryan Cranston, for no reason at all, has one arm in the movie.
Well, I guess they were showing that's why he's working in the office instead of out there on the field. I guess so.
When they cut to him at the desk, he's reading a letter with one arm. I'm like, we don't need him to have one arm.
Yeah. Like, why does he? And
why
does
he
never explained.
Never explained. He's just in that one scene with one arm.
I guess it shows that war really does take away parts of you. Do you guys want to get into the beginning of the movie is we see old man Ryan, and he's walking with his family to the World War II. It was the Normandy American Cemetery Memorial.
Now I had spoiled this for myself, and I did not know that I spoiled it for myself.
Oh no.
that gif at the end of the movie where Matt Damon is looking at dead Tom Hanks and it turns into an old man.
Yeah.
I use that gif whenever someone doesn't answer to my text messages all the time. No. I'm like, this is how long I've been waiting that I turn into an old man.
Yeah.
So then when I saw that old man, I was like, damn, they saved him. It immediately clicked for me. I was like, oh, that's the old man from that gif that I always use.
That was very funny. Can you imagine going into this movie wondering like, I wonder if they're going to save Private Ryan.
Yeah.
And then immediately you see the old man, you're like, God damn it. Yeah. Because the way that they show that scene, it fades from that old man to Tom Hanks, and it tricks you into thinking that that old man is Tom Hanks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I had seen this before, but I couldn't remember who dies, and I was like, I'm pretty sure Tom Hanks dies.
Yeah.
It's just going to be miserable for me.
But he makes it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but...
He doesn't die in many of his movies, if any of them.
In this podcast, I just watched Philadelphia a while ago, and he dies in that one.
He dies in Philadelphia? He had AIDS.
What y'all expect?
I have never seen Philadelphia.
Yeah. He has AIDS.
For whatever reason, I thought Philadelphia was a comedy.
Oh, no.
It's a movie about a guy defending a dude
just
with
never knew
like
what
right
themselves
about. Like his lawyer and he's like there's some court case and he's like he has AIDS.
I never knew what
Tom
it was
Hanks
about.
Tom Hanks is fired for being gay and then Denzel is the one who has to defend him in court.
Got it.
Yeah. And
maybe I should watch Philadelphia.
I only saw it as a kid, but I think it's supposed to be like really great acting, right?
It's great acting. Tom won the Oscar for it, but it is very sad.
I think this movie's one of your, like, because you like those big acting movies.
Yeah.
Right?
I just thought it was a comedy. Maybe I'm thinking of Big or something.
Well, you know what, Jaquise? We already know that you like to miss genre movies a lot. He refuses to admit that Eternal Sunshine on the Spotless Mind is a rom-com.
It's not a rom-com.
What do you think?
Well, you think that Philadelphia is a comedy,
Well, I've never seen Philadelphia, though. I've seen Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah.
It's a rom-com.
It's a dramedy.
I would say it's like a rom-com with dramedy out.
With dramatic elements.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I would flip that if you want to insist it's a rom-com. Oh. It's a dramedy with rom-com elements.
Oh, well.
We digress.
Well, right now, a few days ago, is the 75th anniversary of D-Day.
Yeah, Donald Trump gave a good speech about it. The media was on his dick.
I block everything about Trump. Yeah. It's like, I just can't anymore. But yeah, they had a special Fathom event where you could go see this in theaters. And
did you go see it in theaters?
I went to go see it with a bunch of old guys. It was like the whole audience was a bunch of old white men and just me by myself.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
They were having some very different experiences. And they were like, oh, this is it. This is what happened.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this movie's great.
I know. I was like the whole time I kept moving in my seat and crying and just like really stressed out the whole time. I had a box of Goobers, and by the end of it, my box of Goobers was like ripped apart.
It's stressful.
Ripping at it, and like everyone else around me was just sitting there stone faced. And I was like, come on, you guys, aren't you stressed out?
Yeah.
I was stressed the whole time, especially this first scene. I was like, what am I? I kept covering my eyes.
Yeah, they were stressed. It was just post traumatic.
Yeah.
It's post traumatic. They're going to do something bad with that stress later.
Yeah.
They were just like, pausing. I don't know. It was bad, but we watched
too long. I think that first scene.
Yes.
Well, actually, that's hypocritical of me to say because my favorite movie ever, our second favorite movie ever, is Apocalypse Now, which is equally as violent. But I think the difference between those two movies is that Apocalypse Now very much so makes the argument that no one was good at it and no one was heroic. Versus, I think that this movie kind of like that scene ends with them being badasses and like taking down that tower and stuff.
Yeah.
There's no scene like that in Apocalypse Now.
Mm. Oh, I've never seen it.
I don't think you'd like it.
No,
it's 3 hours and a half.
In a war movie,
it's all about how Nam was a big fuck up.
Yeah, I'm not much of a war movie person.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm not either.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, wait. I forgot to ask you. What's your favorite Tom Hanks movie?
Oh, yes. I like The Terminal.
Terminal!
Yeah, I like that movie. It's stupid.
It's good, though.
Yeah, it is fun.
Tom is cute in that.
Yeah, that's why I like it. It's like, it's one of his more positive movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be completely stereotypical, and I'm going to say... just the Toy Story franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, that checks out for you. That checks out for you.
He's not like in it.
He's a star.
He is. He's a star, yeah.
But yeah, I think his body.
Yeah, that's still his work.
But it is his work. So yeah, just the whole Toy Story franchise is my favorite.
Yeah.
Of his.
Are you excited about 4?
No, but I will go see it. I think they definitely should have ended it with 3 and it would have been perfect.
Oh, yeah. I heard rumors that Woody dies in 4.
Oh, really?
I don't know if that's real. Someone just was like, you know he's going to die, right? And I was wait, what?
I don't think so.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
But they were like, Tom Hanks cried on his last day and said it was the final. And I was like, what does that mean?
That they'll finally stop making sequels to it?
I hope so.
Did Rashida write this one?
She started to, but then dropped out.
Yeah. Oh, right. They had, like, issues, right?
John Lasseter.
Yeah.
Oh, he was fucking up, right? He was sexual. Yeah.
She was being gross, so she dropped out, I think. I don't know if that was the only reason why, but yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how it is.
I'll definitely go see it, though.
I mean, I'll go see it, but I'm going to cry.
I mean, I almost cried when they all died at the end of Toy Story 3. I was like, this shit is emotional, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Toy Story 3.
Oh, it's a good one.
You should watch it.
I'll check
it's
it out.
It's probably the best one out of all of them.
Yeah.
That's a big claim.
I like 2 a lot.
I like 2 a lot, yeah. 2's great.
3 was really good, man.
3's good. I think 2, I just like the best because I like Jesse and Bullseye and it's like their intro. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Toy Story 1 very much so feels like a first beat of a Herald. Just necessary to get the idea across.
Yeah.
It was a groundbreaking movie because it was the first, and that's it.
Thank you for giving us this concept. Toy Story 2 is just like, here's what we can do with it now. We all agree that this is real.
Yeah. Go back and watch the animation. It's rough.
It's not good.
It's real rough.
It's not good in comparison.
They don't blink at the same time. Their eyes go different. That's why they have that gif of Buzz where his blinking eyes are different.
Yeah. It's very funny.
But we're talking about Saving Private Ryan.
Something much more heavier than Toy Story.
Yeah. So they storm up the beach and we meet basically our whole group. I had to write them all down. But we have Tom Hanks as John Miller. I don't know, rankings.
He's like a captain.
Captain. Yeah. And then we have Tom Sizemore as Mike Corbath.
He's the sergeant. He's under Tom Hanks.
He's under Tom.
Yeah. Then we have Giovanni Ribisi as the medic.
Yeah.
And his name is Wade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Vin Diesel, who is
Caparzo.
And then,
what a boneheaded death.
Oh, Caparzo. Yeah.
What a boneheaded death.
Well, apparently, they didn't originally have Caparzo in the first draft, but then Spielberg saw Vin Diesel in an independent film that he directed and starred in, and he was like, oh, I'll write a part for him or give him a part.
I mean, he was fed. I mean, he only has that one scene, really, where you can see his face and stuff, because most of the stuff that he does in the movie is in that big D-Day scene. But when he's taking the kid and Tom Hanks is like, put that kid down, Caparzo. Yeah. And he's like, he's like, he looks like my niece. And then he takes off the cross that's been protecting him during the D-Day thing and puts it on the little girl, instantly gets shot. And he's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was brutal. And then watching the guy who was in the tower just get his eye shot out too.
Because what's his name? The weird Christian sniper.
Oh yeah. That's I wrote his name down too. It's Daniel Jackson, played by Barry Pepper. And then we have Timothy Upham is Jeremy Davies. And
ooh, we not gonna talk about Upham.
No. He makes me mad too. And then Stanley Mellish, Adam Goldberg.
Is that the same Adam Goldberg from like the Goldbergs?
Is it?
Like the guy who wrote the Goldbergs? I was wondering that, and I just forgot to look.
I don't know.
Is his character named Adam Goldberg?
No, the actor.
The actor?
Yeah.
That guy's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he was in Dazed and Confused, and he was also in Friends as someone's roommate, right?
There's 2 Adam Goldbergs.
So, oh, okay.
There's an Adam Goldberg and an Adam F. Goldberg.
Who played Reuben?
Oh, that was Edward Burns.
He deserves some love.
Oh, he was great.
He was fantastic. Which one? He played Reuben. He's a guy who from the very get is just like, fuck this. This idea
yes.
is stupid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the guy who was going to like leave, right? Yeah. That's his name. Yeah. I was bad with names with this
he
one.
He was fantastic.
He was great.
Fantastic.
Yes.
He was great, but I also, okay.
Now go for it. Say it.
He was the one that was like, yo, we lost two of our guys. Why are we going after this guy, right?
But from the very beginning, like the when they're walking through the field, he's like the one who's just like, this is all stupid, right? Like, that's his character arc throughout the whole movie.
I completely agree with that part. But then that's why I like Tom Hanks' like speech about, you know, like, this is the mission, essentially. Because it's like, you've been saying this whole time, and here's your chance to go the fuck home.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, people you love are dying, but this is your mission, so you can get out of this and, like, go leave again. So it was a weird, that one moment for him, to me, was just a weird switch where it was like, you're not, I thought this wasn't what you wanted. You want to leave war, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The whole thing was like,
I think it was like, I think for me, it's like, he understands D-Day. He understands why this is justified. He's just like, okay, this is the enemy. We're here to get rid of these guys. It doesn't compute for him, this sacrifice watching. And it wasn't the same scale of sacrifice, but still, he watched two of his boys get murked. And he's just like, this doesn't equate the same to me. So I would rather go back there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
and I know why we're dying.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's kind of it, where it's like,
yeah,
if I like be like, yo, Jaquise, I don't really like this about the pod. I don't really like this about the pod. You'd be like, you'll respond to that more because you understand where I'm coming from with it. I have some stake in it. But if some random nigga on the street comes and just like, yo, Jaquise, I don't fuck with this. This is dumb. You're going to dismiss that because like, you're not in this shit. You don't care about it. And I think that's why I was just like, I've never met James Ryan before.
Yeah.
I don't know this dude at all. What's so special about him? This death makes no sense to me.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's really had to be, and already he was convincing himself probably to be in D-Day and be like, this is worth it. This is worth it. Nazis are bad. And then on top of it, it's like, all right, you're done with that part. You just went through this terrible thing. Go save this dude you have never seen before.
You don't know if he's worth it.
No.
Yeah, he could be not worth it. Yeah.
That's why when it was Nathan Fillion, right, who plays the other, when he comes running in, and then they go, man, I told you he was an asshole. Like, that was like them just being like, I knew this fucking guy wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
There's like, they have that scene where, like, it's the wrong James.
Oh, yeah.
That scene's so funny.
So funny.
It's the wrong James Ryan.
Yeah, he starts crying immediately, and then he's like, how did they die? And they're like, war. And he's
in
like,
the war. Yeah,
and he's like, but they're in grade school. Yeah. Like, oh, wrong guy.
Yeah, wrong guy. But then he doesn't stop crying. He goes, wait, but maybe he's wrong. Maybe the other James Ryan's brothers are still alive. It's like, no, dude.
No.
No. Yeah. They died in war. You're the wrong James Ryan. He was still trying to go home. He's like, I should still go home. And it's like, nah. No.
Yeah, everyone's looking for an excuse to go home. I think that's another reason why they were all like in the back of their minds, like, if we finish this mission, we get to go home, kind of thing. So like, they were like, let's suck it up and do it or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then also the conflicting thing of like, why are we all dying for just one guy?
For one dude.
Yeah. Who, when we met him, didn't even want to leave.
Yeah. He didn't.
Yeah.
Bro, you better get your ass in this tank and let's get out of here.
Oh, man. But I get where he's coming from of like, that has to look hella awkward.
Yeah.
To like, you know, you in this thing and it's only like seven of y'all and they're like, hey, yo, let's go. And then all the, hey, what about us?
Yeah.
We got family members dead too.
Yeah.
I think that was later to me justified because he was like, well, all of my brothers are dead. And then these guys that I've like bonded, they're like my brothers and I can't just abandon them.
Yeah.
When I know that if we don't all help out with this thing, they're all going to die. Which they all end up
dying. They all end up dying.
Yeah.
So, they get the mission to go save Ryan. Mm-hmm. They're on the mission. They're talking, and we also get to meet Upham, who's like the translator, because their translator died, and he's going to play a big part in it. I did like that he was trying to bring his typewriter with him, and then Tom Hanks had to say, no typewriters, which is funny because we all know Tom Hanks has a huge love for typewriters.
Does he?
Yeah. So
That tracks.
Yeah.
That tracks.
So they get to the town. This is when Caparzo dies. Yeah, because they're trying to save the French dad is like, save my kid. And he's like, okay. And everyone's like, no, no, no. And then he gets shot down and then they can't save him right away, even though they have the medic there because there's a sniper. Yeah.
And then the Christian sniper comes in.
Yeah.
He has one of the weirdest characters in the whole movie where he goes, here's my thinking, Captain. God created me as this excellent war machine.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if that was God, dog. Like, I think you just fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that line was ad-libbed by the actor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Then he was really good as that character.
It was a good line. They can't save him in time, but he tells them that he has a letter for his mom.
Yes.
And that letter carries through. But do you realize that every single person that takes the letter ends up dying?
Except for one person.
Except for the last person.
Reuben,
yeah.
Well, we don't know if Reuben died.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, we cut straight to the future. But, yeah, so...
I'm going to say he died.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think he died in the war? Nah, Reuben was dope.
No, he was lucky, right? He said that was also his character thing. He's like, I'm lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was.
Yeah, Reuben is very lucky.
Yeah. But Wade takes the letter, and then we meet Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
In that town.
There's so many people. Ted Danson was in there.
Ted Danson is also in that town.
Yeah. Yeah. I read that this movie actually revived Ted Danson's career.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because he wasn't getting a lot of work, and then this movie showed that he could do drama.
Yeah.
And so then, but now he's on The Good Place. And
which is also ending.
Yeah.
Which is very sad.
But
also great.
He's doing great.
I think it's a smart move to end it. They can't do any more twist.
Yeah. No. There's a lot going on. Oh, and then when we meet Ted Danson, this is when we meet the other James Ryan.
Fillin, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Who, there's just so, it's a who's who.
This movie has, Bryan Cranston is only in one scene.
One scene. That's watching this again, I was, because when I first saw it, I didn't have a grasp on who any of these people were.
Yeah.
Except Tom Hanks. And maybe Ted Danson back then, just because my family used to watch Cheers. But still probably not even him.
Yeah.
But like watching it now, I'm like, oh, man, it's a lot of people in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot of good people and a lot of really good actors in this movie.
Also, I read that Spielberg hired Matt Damon for the movie because he thought he was going to be an unknown, just all-American looking boy. But then right before this movie came out, Good Will Hunting came out.
Yeah. So he became, so it was kind of stunt casting a little bit.
And then the whole movie's about him and he doesn't show up until an hour and 45 minutes in.
Yeah, he doesn't come in until like the very end.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And also very funny that this was supposed to be the movie that launched his career and it like took off.
Yeah.
Where he was like, oh, he too famous for this movie.
Yeah.
Why he ain't one of the soldiers?
Yeah. But then you also know who Ryan is because it's like, oh, there's the famous person.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also I read that before the movie started, they made all the guys go through training. What it's like to be an actual soldier, and it was 10 days and they hated it, and Matt Damon didn't have to do it because they wanted the guys to resent him like they do in the movie.
That's very funny.
So it's like method acting, and then also it bonded all the other guys together but not with Matt Damon, so no one didn't care.
Well, I mean, he wasn't even on most of their shoot days anyways.
The whole movie took about 50 days to shoot, and of course 25 of those days were the
He was chilling. So, man, he was in a hotel. He was like, how was your shoot today, guys?
Yeah. Also, during the scenes, he didn't do much.
No.
Yeah. So then this is where they're sleeping in a church, and they all talk. Tom Hanks has his, like, we see that he has his hand shaking again, and he talks about it.
With Tom Sizemore.
Yeah. And then he also talks about how, like, if he can save one, because they're like, why are we doing this? And he's like, I imagine like one guy dying saves 10 people. And then he was like, but why are we sacrificing 10 guys for one?
Yeah. His theory was that he said he's lost 98 men.
Yes.
And he feels like saving this one, but I've had to have saved 20 times that.
Yeah.
Like that was his math. Yeah. He was like, for each guy that I've had lost, this has to be worth 20 times that. It's such a great... I'm not going to lie. I tuned out for a lot of those like talking scenes, which is why that speech where he convinces Reuben to stay, completely missed it. Because one of the things I really enjoyed about this movie is how little people explain themselves and their characters. And yeah. Tom Hanks does a really good, yes. I mean, not Tom Hanks. Steven Spielberg does a really good job of just having them do it. Like, for example, he never has Tom Hanks explain that he's a really good captain. He just shows it by that plan that Tom Hanks comes with to punch the hole through the gate, right? Like, there's so many. I wrote down a couple of other moments like that. Or even with Upham, like, Upham's always shaking and weird. Yeah. And you're like, that's the coward. Like, they don't, no one ever goes, hey, you're kind of a coward. And I love that about the movie, which is why any scene that, like, a character started explaining their backgrounds, I was like, I'm tuning out.
The one, I agree with that. I like that. Which is why that one speech from John Miller, I actually did enjoy, because most of that scene, he was completely tuned out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, his speech at that moment seemed not to fit at
it's
all.
It's like incongruous. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, it made me tune in to that specific moment. I was like, all right, this actually does mean something.
So I found the other moment that I wrote down, and it was when Tom Sizemore's character picks up dirt and puts it in a can.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then you look and you see that he has a can, and you've seen that he's been in every single front in World War II. Like, he has Africa, he has Italy, and then now he has France. And it's like, that's such great character development of being like, man, this guy's been in this shit.
Yeah.
He's seen a lot of people die. Like, it doesn't, no one says that. He never says it. You just infer that because of that really strong visual.
Yeah. You get a lot, like, everyone has their moment, but then also not everything is sad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which I appreciate.
I thought that was really phenomenal directing.
It also makes you really feel for every single person.
Yes.
Even the smaller characters in the group, because when they all end up dying, I was crying.
I mean, right? Like, Giovanni Ribisi has, like, so few lines in the movie, but every time you see him, he's trying to save somebody.
Yeah.
And then you go, that's what he wants to do. Like, that's
just
his
save
character.
People. Yeah.
And to that point, too, I think, kind of going back to the Matt Damon thing, how he was supposed to be this all-American kind of unknown guy, I think the fact that he was known kind of makes you care about him a little bit more than you probably should.
Yeah.
Or you probably would if he was just this unknown guy. Because, like, you have just, as a person, have a connection to the character, the actor.
Yeah.
So it makes you have somewhat of a little connection to the character.
Yeah,
might
100%.
Have even helped the movie, because if it was just some unknown dude, you might have been feeling the same way that the other guys
right.
were feeling.
Yeah.
And you would have been like, oh, I hate that guy. And, like, the movie you would have felt different. But I think knowing Matt Damon, you were like, oh, like, we want to root.
Yeah, I can see why they want to save him.
But also, nowadays, I don't really care for Matt Damon. So I was like,
it's like, should have let his ass die.
Yeah. But then also in this church scene is when we get Wade talking about his mom and how he used to, like, pretend to be asleep when she came home early. So, and he was like, I don't know why I did that. And, like, that's a really, it was like a really sad moment.
Yeah, but then immediately you go, this nigga's gonna die.
I know. And then also he's rewriting what Caparzo's letter, because it's covered in blood and he wants to have another one. Yeah. And then also this is when Upham is talking to Miller about the pool. They have a pool going about what Miller's, like, civilian job is and where he's from, and, like, he won't tell anyone. And the pool's at, like, $300 or something.
$300,
And he's like, once it gets to $500, like, we'll just split it and I'll tell you or something. And then Upham's like, well, let's make it $1,000 then. He's like, no, let's make it $500.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to survive. Yeah. And then, so then they go, oh, this is when they run into the other group of soldiers that are hurt.
Mm. Yeah.
And this is another scene of, like, that whole theme of, like, is it worth it to save one guy for all these people? Because this plane had crashed because the general wanted a special thing put in the plane to protect himself. And then it ended.
It was, like, too heavy.
Yeah, it made
like
the plane crash and it killed him. So it ended up killing him because he wanted to save himself.
But then we get a nice, you know, comedic moment in this scene, because you run into the deaf guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows James Ryan.
Yeah, that's nice. We needed a little break.
Yeah.
Which is very funny.
It was very funny. Write it down.
Yeah. Also, we get to see Tom being funny.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how soon after Forrest Gump was this?
Forrest Gump was 95? Yeah.
Right.
94.
So and
4 years.
And so, for whatever reason, well, not for whatever reason, because it's 2019. So, like, just looking at his face in this movie, like, today, I'm sure he did other movies in between, but the only movie I remember right before this is Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And so to see him go from that character to this one, it's like, oh, man, this is not light at all.
Which is crazy, because I am the reverse, because I watched, I knew about Saving Private Ryan and all that stuff first, so I always knew Tom Hanks is a serious actor. So then later in my life, when I was like, oh, he was like a comedy actor in the 80s.
Yeah.
It like blew my mind. I didn't know that, like Splash and
the one. That's why I thought Philadelphia was a comedy guy.
No, but like Philadelphia and Saving Private Ryan were like the first movies I'd ever been introduced to him with.
Yeah, I always knew Tom as like a serious like Academy Award winning actor, but then it's fun to find out that he also went through the struggles that most comedians go through of like, I want to be taken serious. Mm-hmm. And they have their serious phase where they're trying to win that Oscar, and Tom Hanks went through that too. Yeah. I don't think he was necessarily like a super comedian, but he started out in a sitcom.
Really?
Yeah, Bosom Buddies.
Yes.
Frozen Buddies?
Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Where they dress in drag to live in an apartment.
Ah, you know, I've seen clips of that.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know that's what it was, but that makes sense.
Yeah. This is also the scene where they meet, where they go through the dog tags. And we see the dramatic thing where, like, they're just kind of, like, heartless, I guess.
Yeah.
Going through these tags, making jokes, and all the other soldiers are watching, and that's when Wade, I think it is, who's the one, is it Wade that comes over and he's like, stop it, you guys.
Yeah.
It was Wade.
He's like, they're watching. It would be the similar to like if they were doing that for their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this is when they meet the deaf guy who tells them where Ryan is. He's protecting a bridge somewhere, and so they go to that bridge, but on the way they run into like a machine gun.
Yes.
Where they want where they're like, let's just avoid it, and then Tom Hanks is like, no, we have to take down the machine gun, because if we don't do it, then someone else is gonna run into it and die.
Which is honorable, but also it's just like,
I think he was having a moment, and his character is having a moment where he had to prove himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because like you said, when they're going through the dog tags, they're just like, this fucking Ryan guy is dead and we're never going to find him. Like, everyone was already giving up at that point. So that's when Tom Hanks is like, fine, I'll find him. Ryan. Like, he starts yelling out his name to see if anyone responds, and they're all laughing at him. So, yeah, I think you're right of, like, at this point, he was so close to, like, mutiny, where it's like they just did not believe in him at all.
Yeah. So
which is why they don't even respond when he says, who wants to go? What is it? Who wants to go left?
Yeah.
Because he's like, all right, these guys go right, I'll go middle. Who wants to go left? And they all just stare at him. He's like, I said, who wants to go left?
And and none of them really want to do it, because they're like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
We're definitely going to, someone's going to
die.
And then
someone does. Wade dies. This one was really sad. Yeah. I know that Giovanni Ribisi is a Scientologist, and I don't know how I feel about him as a person, but I love him.
Yeah, Sneaky Pete.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good.
He's also in That Thing You Do, which is Tom Hanks. He's Chad, who falls down and can't play
the
drums.
He's in Ted, too, isn't he?
Is he?
I mean, that checks out.
Yeah. He's funny in.
So this is when Upham starts his spiral downwards.
Oh, yeah.
Where I was so conflicted about this scene, because I think Upham is right about.
Yes.
So they capture the machine gun guy, and
they
all start beating him up.
Apparently his name in the credits is Steamboat Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Because he talks about
he starts singing that song. He starts singing that Disney Channel song, or not Disney Channel, Disney movie song.
But he's like, guys, let's not kill him, he's a prisoner of war now, let's let him go. And they're like, no, we should kill him because he killed Wade. And they're like, we're not sure if he killed Wade.
And then they say, if we let him go, he could go meet up with some other krauts and find our location.
And I mean,
but then Upham convinces Tom Hanks to let him go.
You were really effective.
Upham fucking sucks.
I think he sucks too.
I mean, like, he, the end of the movie, he has like I feel like he has the, isn't that the whole setup where it's like he could save him, but he doesn't. He just sits there and cries.
Yeah. So he's up in the thing with the Jewish guy and another dude from Ryan's unit, and they have this 30 cal, and they're quickly running out of bullets. So they like up him, go get more bullets, and up him goes and gets more bullets, and then gets scared by like all these by this gunfire and freezes. Hides. But then at that point, the way that it was shot, I was literally writing down, "Oh shit, is Upham about to be the MVP?" And then he just stays there and he sees these German soldiers coming up the stairs, and then they get hit by a bomb, but one survives or two survive, and they go up and attack the Jewish guy and whatever that other dude is with the 30 cal.
Yeah.
And then they kill one, but then the second one comes in, kills the guy with the 30 cal, and then you can hear the Jewish guy and the German struggling, and Upham listens from the fucking stairs.
From the stairs.
He's afraid.
He listens to the whole thing. He listens to the
with
German
gun.
Guy.
He listens
with
to
a, his... What the fucking machine gun, my dude.
Yeah. And the guy kills the other dude with a knife.
With a knife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Upham could have ended that fight instantly.
Yeah.
But he was too much of a coward, and then the guy dies. And so much so that the German soldier can smell that he's a coward.
And I just think lets him live.
Walks
lets
right him past live. Him. Yeah. He's like, you're a coward.
You're
not
worth
do
it.
Shit.
You're not worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the that's when I was like, oh man, you a bitch.
But Upham does it again.
Yeah.
It's the second time where he's like hiding in the trenches, and all these Nazi soldiers walk by, and he doesn't shoot. And those are the Nazi soldiers that end up killing Tom Hanks because he's just hiding, and he lets them walk
right
by him.
Did you know the one that ends up killing Tom Hanks is Steamboat Willie?
Yeah.
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 I didn't realize because they all look the same to me.
Yeah, I've never trouble with like.
But then he says.
Upham!
And
then
Upham
that's when
him.
He shoots
that's
him.
The first time he shoots a fucking gun shot
but
in
it's
the
like,
war.
So this whole scene where they let the German go is just, that's the reason why in the end Tom Hanks dies.
Yeah.
To me. And I'm mad about it.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah. So they let him go. Reuben has his little speech thing where he wants to leave. And then this is when Tom Hanks reveals who he is. He's a teacher. He's an English teacher. Mm. And then he gives his whole speech about like, well, if I the more men I kill, the farther I feel from home.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not going to kill that guy because then I just am farther away from home. That's an excuse for it. But
yeah, I mean,
yeah.
There's a part of me that finds that admirable.
Yeah.
But
the other part of me is like, man, shoot that dude in the head, man.
Yeah.
Like, he is the enemy. I get it. Also, that scene right before was very funny to me when he tries to sing the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, yeah.
I see. Can you see?
That was like my first. That was like my true first laugh out loud moment.
Betty Boop, Betty Boop, she has the cans. What are they gonna do? Like, you know, you're right. That cartoon character does have big breasts.
It does.
Come on, join our
Come
unit.
On, join it. And then they're all just standing there, just staring at him, blank face. It was so funny.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. I mean, that was like a nice release of the tension. But he sucks. And then we finally find Ryan, Matt Damon, and then he doesn't want to leave, and so then they decide they're gonna fight with them and save the bridge, and they decide to do it with sticky bombs, which no one knows what he's talking about.
It's they cover the socks in some sort of oil, right?
Yeah.
That causes the C4 to stick to the tanks.
Yeah.
The
only time I've ever heard of a sticky bomb before this movie, or like got reminded of it from this movie, was from Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto.
It's one of my favorite weapons in Grand Theft Auto.
But the ones that they use in Grand Theft Auto are a lot more.
They're real. They're more.
It's like C4 wrapped in this thing that you toss at something.
Yeah, it's really fun,
and then you can detonate it from far. It's a very fun thing to do in Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, you stick it to a car, and you watch the car go somewhere, and the moment it stops at a red light, you trigger it.
I do it all the time.
No!
I go, this last one, not to derail, is this last Grand Theft Auto was set in L.A., so when I used to tour guide and have a tough day, I would just come and go to Hollywood and just throw a sticky bomb in the middle of Hollywood Boulevard and just set it off. And it was great.
It was great,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, guys.
No. Actually, I think this movie inspired Spielberg to help produce a video game. I can't remember which.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it called, like, it's a war game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like something Frontier or something like that. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a tie to it. but then this is when they're preparing for it, and we get Tom Hanks is talking to Matt Damon. Matt Damon tells that horrible story.
I tuned out so fast.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I thought about that story is just like, this is exactly what it's like when I come home and I tell Anna about something that happened in the room. And then she's like, oh, yeah, that's great. But yeah. She's just like, this isn't funny to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know these fucking people. I don't get it. Yep. This is a joke that's only funny to you.
That's it.
Stop wasting my time.
It's an everyday occurrence with me and Jess. Every day she comes home and talks for the first 15 minutes that she walks through the door. And I'm just like, that's cool, babe. That's
cool. Well, I thought this was the most problematic part of the movie that doesn't hold up, because he was talking about an ugly girl that hit every branch of some ugly tree. And I was just like, you fucking suck.
And isn't she unconscious at some point and someone's dragging her by the leg?
Yeah. And I was like, ugh. You are not worth it. And, and I was like, oh, he's horrible. And then I find out later that Matt Damon made up that story.
Oh, that's even worse.
So it was Matt Damon.
Oh, it was like on the spot?
Yeah. He ad-libbed that story and they kept it in. And I was just terrible. Like, Matt Damon would come up with that story.
Whenever I hear stuff like that, for a movie like this, I'm just like, yo, man, just stick to the script. Like, this isn't a comedy. Like, this is a war movie. We don't need you to ad-lib story.
You know he was feeling so proud of himself. Yeah. After he's like, fuck yeah, they fucking made the cut.
Yeah.
Fucking greatest.
I love that he asked Miller about his wife, and he's like, no, I'm not telling you. I don't know you.
Yeah.
Made me feel so much better.
Then they listen to that record, right?
Yeah, they listen to the record, and Upham is translating it, and they're all like, I'm falling in love. But then the tanks come. Four tanks come with a bunch of Germans, and then, of course, we know that everyone dies. The sniper, Jackson, dies.
By rocket.
Yeah. And then pretty much everyone dies. Horvath dies.
He gets shot.
They all die.
He gets shot once and then still blows up the tank. And then he gets shot making sure everyone makes it across the bridge.
Yeah.
The guy, what was the guy's name who got shot with the tank in the tower?
That's the sniper. Christian.
That's the sniper.
Yeah.
I loved that scene.
Yes. Just because
I generally hate scenes that have, I generally hate scenes that use like religion as a motivator.
But when he's praying and he kills each person.
He's just like reloading. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this shit is tight. Because you can just see it on his. And like that actor specifically, especially like 90s, early 2000s, like was just known for like a very intense.
Yeah. I mean, he has an intense face.
He has a very intense face.
Father, protect these hands.
Yeah.
And then for him to just die.
Yeah.
Well, he knew it was coming too. He's like,
he saves everyone.
Shoot.
Yeah. He saves Ryben.
Yeah. But he was honestly, I was like, wow, he's so good.
Yeah. I thought he was going to live.
I thought he was going to live too. I mean, he was popping them boys. Numbers.
What talented war, what does he say? Weapon of war.
Oh, he says, God made me a machine of war.
Yeah. And then he died. So sad. Everyone dies. And then Miller tries to blow up the bridge and then gets shot down and then bites Steamboat Willie. I hate him. And then the plane.
Ruining the name, Steamboat Willie.
And they think they're just going to die. But then the planes come in and they have reinforcement come in and all the Germans surrender. And then that's when Miller says to James Ryan, he's like, earn this. Right before he dies.
This battle scene also has a big turning point for Ryben, who this entire movie has hated this.
Yeah.
And then there's one point where he sees that a tank is about to shoot where James Ryan is standing and runs over and drags him away at the last second and then sits on top of him for a long part of the battle. And it's just
that
like,
was funny.
You're not going anywhere. And it's like, fuck, Ryben cares now. Like, he cares, and it's just like, don't get caught up in this fighting. You're going to die. I'm going to protect you.
Yeah. It was funny when he was sitting on
it. Yeah. He was like, get off me.
He was like, no, sit down. It was like a parent yelling at his kid. Yeah. And then, then we cut to old man Ryan breaks down in front of Miller's grave.
I hated that scene.
Yeah. And he talks to his wife, and he's like, am I worth it?
Am I worth it? Am I a good man?
Am I a good man?
She says, yes.
So I think all his granddaughters look the same.
Yeah.
They're all like, there's literally like three identical blonde daughters, and you could tell that they were very bored. Like they were just like, I don't want to be at this dumbass grave.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be. I think that they would have been very happy if iPhones had existed at this time.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I can't, like, a part of me doesn't. a part of me doesn't really get it.
Yeah.
Like, why are they there? Is this supposed to be like an anniversary or something? Or is this supposed to be, what's happening?
I mean, it could be the D-Day Memorial. Because, like, right, it took place in our time. Yeah. So it could have been a D-Day Memorial and he's at Arlington.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I think
there were other soldiers there, right? There were other.
Maybe he was like ending. He was like getting old. This was the last chance that he could go on a vacation. He's like, I want to go and like salute the people that saved me.
Yeah, because I know like veterans go to veteran Arlington. Memorials all the time, not just during like Memorial Day or anniversaries. So
that checked, but it was like, why'd you bring your whole that's
what I mean.
Family?
Like, it's not the fact that he's going, is why are they there? Yeah. Why are they all there?
Three generations.
Yeah.
Like him, his son, and his son's daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was a way for him to show that he earned it by having a family. He lived a long life and had this whole family with him.
I guess so. But he waited a long ass time to bring them then.
Yeah. it was like kind of like a way to be like, look what I have built because of you guys.
For me, like, I guess my bigger point is, and I know the top of this movie and the end of this movie were only like 3 minutes long each. So you're talking 6 minutes, 6-7 minutes. But I truly don't think you needed the top and the end of this movie. Like, we could have just started it at D-Day and ended it with Matt Damon, like, looking.
Yeah.
And, like, I would have been, I don't need to know if he earns it.
I mean, or especially if you don't tell us that he did.
Right.
You know what I mean? At least if he's like, am I a good man? She should look back and be like, of course.
Yeah.
You cured cancer.
Right.
You did it? And it's like,
and the fact
dope.
That she pauses first, like, she doesn't even say it right away.
Yeah.
Like,
she's just thrown off by the question. She doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, she doesn't know what's going on. She's like,
which is terrible, because why haven't you told her shit?
None of them told their wives. Shaquise, if you went through that, you wouldn't come home and tell Jess about it.
You'd come home right away and be like, guess what happened?
Baby, let me tell you what happened. First of all, my brother's dead.
Yeah. These men came home and didn't talk to their wives. They would go out drinking at the VFW and like, that's who they talk to about it, but they don't tell other people. That's why it's so hard to like get accurate information out about it. Like,
that's very true.
Yeah.
They would come home and just be drunken. I don't know. I'm basing a lot of this off of Mad Men. But I just don't think that they like that would be anything he would ever tell her.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even. How much stuff do you tell Jess today?
Today?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to her today.
Like, you know what I mean? Does Jess know that you're at a podcast right now?
No.
So you telling me that you would tell her. You don't even tell her about something that small. This is a great podcast.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
so happy. But yeah, something this small, you don't even tell her. You think that this nigga's going to tell his wife about how all these niggas died to save her?
In 50 years, she knows I've done a podcast. He can tell her. He can tell her one person he dealt with in war.
Yeah. Well, he might have told her that he was saved.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know. Maybe. I bet. I don't know. I bet he told her something. She just didn't know the
gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, she doesn't know that all of these people died for him. He's like, I was saved by these people. And it's like, all of them died.
Yeah. And I guess that's what annoys me is the top and the end of this movie just leaves so much speculation to a movie that is so airtight for most of it,
that's
where there's no need for speculation.
It feels like maybe that's just a Spielberg choice.
Yeah, it definitely
is.
Because
it feels definitely like 90s Hollywood movie where you have to have like a family and kind of a happy ending where it's like we see that he has a family and you can
infer.
Movie
trope.
Yeah. It's like the top and the bottom, like how they have VO at the beginning and the end.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is like their similar VO thing, I guess.
Have you... I love watching old trailers from movies from the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Or just before the
mid
2000s.
Unnecessary narration.
Because they have all their old narration. I would love to see like whatever the the trailer was for this movie.
Yeah. In a few years, people will look back at trailers of this time and be like, why was everything done to like a cover of an older song?
Yeah. 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 You know,
that's the thing right now. This movie was nominated for
11.
Yeah. Crazy amount of Oscars.
Deserved.
It lost Best Picture to Shakespeare in Love, and that's the most controversial.
That is the power
of
Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
Yeah.
I read that. It was he
campaigned so hard.
So hard. He said that
it was like one of the first movies to do that.
Yeah.
Wasn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah. He campaigned that Saving Private Ryan was like trash and wasn't real and all this other stuff.
And Shakespeare in Love was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. That kind of that win put like Miramax on the map.
Yeah. Yeah.
It changed Hollywood.
He's a trash person. And this was the last movie to win best film editing for a non-digital edited film.
Oh, wow. So it's like
that's a really cool
edited
fact.
On like, film. You know, we tape it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And then.
Damn, that's really cool.
Yeah. What else? I had a few fun facts.
Spielberg won, though, right?
Spielberg like, won for director, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Tom Hanks did not win.
Yeah, it won Best Director, Best Cinematography, Best Film Editing, Best Effects, and it lost Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Writing, Best Art Direction, Best Makeup, Best Music.
I would like to know who won for Best Writing, so yeah. I will look that up while you guys discuss.
Yeah. I also read that there's some other casting choices. So Garth Brooks turned down the role of Jackson the Sniper. We could have had Garth Brooks.
That's very funny.
No, as okay the sniper.
That, that is okay very that. Funny.
Let's see. Then we also had Ed Norton turned down the role of Ryan for American History X, which
worked out.
Great. Which was
that's a great choice for
that
him.
Was great. He was also nominated against Tom Hanks for Best Actor, but they both lost.
Wow. To I'm just looking now, Roberto Benigni.
Yeah.
Who's that?
And I don't know. Life is Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't remember, because I don't know either of those.
You know, I'd like Tom Hanks to win all the awards, but he already had two at the time, so.
For Best Actor?
Yeah.
Damn, yeah. No, he doesn't deserve any more.
Yeah.
Does he get more later?
No. Philadelphia and then Forrest Gump right away, but he was nominated also for Big and for Saving Private Ryan and for.
Was he nominated for Mr. Banks?
Castaway, I think? No.
Castaway, yes.
Yeah.
Captain Phillips?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah,
that was
a big deal.
I thought he was really good in Captain Phillips.
He was so good in Captain
Tom
Phillips.
Stoppard.
Yeah.
What did you write, Tom Stoppard?
Tom Stoppard?
He won Best Writing. Best Screenplay. Oh, Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, boo. Harvey Weinstein,
and Best Adapted was Gods and Monsters.
Oh.
Damn, it beat The Truman Show.
I'm very upset about that.
You be mad about that?
I am.
Be mad.
That's who I wanted to win that year was Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
For Truman Show.
Other fun facts I wrote down. So apparently
he wasn't even nominated.
Nope. Who wasn't nominated?
Jim Carrey for Truman Show.
Nope. Oh, I didn't realize this until recently, but it's Truman because it's True Man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why they named him Truman Burbank.
That makes me hate that movie.
He had a Hollywood name. Truman Burbank.
So apparently to make the camera shake, Spielberg had drills on the side of the camera to make it shake. And then some guy was like, oh, did you know that there's a thing called shaker lens? And he thought that he invented this great way of making the camera shake.
That's funny.
Also, Tom Hanks, his speech about being a teacher was way longer, but he asked, can I cut it down? Because I don't think my character would talk about himself this long.
It's a good choice.
That's very fair. Good job, Tom
When you
Hanks.
Believe won best original song from Prince of Egypt.
Oh, yeah. That's a good song.
I don't know it.
Oh.
You don't know that song?
Which song?
There will be miracles.
Sure.
When you believe. That's Whitney Houston, man. Prince of Egypt.
Yeah. And Mariah Carey.
Get up on your DreamWorks animation.
Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. Also, this is the highest grossing film of 1998.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people saw this
movie.
Save
It, Private Ryan?
Yeah. Highest grossing movie.
That is very surprising. And I would love to know what the blockbusters were that year. Because not only is this a drama, it's a rated R movie.
Yeah.
And it's also a 3-hour long movie.
Yeah. Also, it's traumatizing.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a that must have been a terrible year for movies.
1998 in film, highest grossing films. Saving Private Ryan number one, Armageddon number two.
Oh,
this is not a bad year for blockbusters.
No, this
geez.
Is a good year.
There's Something About Mary, A Bug's Life.
Oh yeah,
The Waterboy, Dr. Doolittle, Rush Hour, Deep Impact, Godzilla, and Patch Adams were the top 10.
Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan
one.
Beat
That's very impressive.
Saving Private Ryan beat both Deep Impact and Armageddon.
That's very impressive. Not because it's not good, just because of the optics around it.
Yeah.
Is usually doesn't leave for a movie like this to be the highest grossing movie
of
the year.
I'm with you, Jaquise, on the fact that even the number three highest gross film was There's Something About Mary.
Yeah.
A comedy movie beat out both, only Deep Impact. It did not beat out Armageddon.
It beat out A Bug's Life.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I love A Bug's Life. It's one of my favorite Pixar movies, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton turned down the role, turned down Horvath because he has a fear of water and didn't want to do the D-Day scenes. Yeah.
Which probably would have been half a day of shooting.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It took 25
days.
It
took 25 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And some people drowned in the water.
And died?
Yeah, well, in the...
On set?
No, no, no.
Oh.
Just in the their character would drown.
I was like, oh, that's a...
Damn, and it's still gross number one?
Yeah, it should have grossed more. Yeah. Honestly, think it's not for real.
Right. Mel Gibson and Harrison Ford both were up for the role of John Miller, which ended up going to Tom Hanks.
Good choice.
Yeah. I like that choice because if it wasn't Tom Hanks, I wouldn't be talking about it. And then FUBAR. I don't know if you know what FUBAR stands for.
Yeah, what does it stand for? It's a callback that they do in the movie a lot.
It's called...
Is it fucked up beyond all recognition?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Did that come from this movie?
I have no idea.
They say it a lot in this movie. This
they say it so
FUBAR,
much.
Yeah.
There's also a joke where the translator is like, that's not German. I can't find it in my book at all. Yeah. Also, Joshua Jackson auditioned for Wade. Very 90s.
Then he got... No, I'm thinking somebody
Dawson's
else.
Dawson's Creek?
Yeah, and I was thinking of the guy who got Black Hawk Down.
Oh, Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
He was in Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very bad movie.
Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
I liked it, but once again, I was a little girl who loved that historical romance.
The twist of it is, what if your best friend died and you hooked up with this girl, but then he didn't actually die?
Yeah. That, I was mad at that movie because there's two big movies where people die for Ben Affleck to live, and I hate that. I hate that. Armageddon?
Oh, yeah. But there's also Reindeer Games.
Ugh. You know what? Why are we sacrificing ourselves for Ben Affleck? Why are we sacrificing ourselves for Matt Damon? They're both... trash in my
head. Will Hunting did a lot for them.
Yeah. Dang it.
A script that they didn't write. And another Harvey Weinstein campaigned movie.
Yep.
Well.
It all makes sense.
Yeah. But Tom Hanks is a wonderful person.
It pleases me when there are like the Denzels and the Tom Hanks and of the world.
Should watch Philadelphia.
I should. They're in a movie together. Yeah, where like they have like an illustrious career. They're A-list, but they never are.
They never
like,
act like act wild
like,
celebrities.
Yeah, they're, wild they're celebrities. Yeah, it's just like, yo, we like what we do. We're good people and blah, 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 blah. You know, on the surface. And yeah, and then nothing, especially now where everything is coming out about everybody.
Yeah.
Like nothing's coming out. So it's cool to have movie stars like that.
Yeah, still good guys. Yeah. So you guys want to rate this movie out of 5 Tom Hankses?
Yeah. Mm. I'll give this movie 5 Tom Hanks.
5 Tom Hanks?
100%. I think that as a film, the story holds up. There are multiple moments of some phenomenal acting.
Mm-hmm.
The choreography of the battle scenes is phenomenal.
Sorry, so good.
And I think it was edited very well. I think that this is one of those movies that will, you know, the film nerds will look back and say that the Academy got it wrong.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed by it. As someone who didn't see it, and I'm not a big Spielberg fan. I definitely think that his 80s works are very overhyped. I'm not one for nostalgia, so E.T. means nothing to me. But this movie, I was very blown away, and like I felt like he had such a strong technical grasp of the movie and a narrative grasp of the movie, which is hard to pull off.
Yeah.
Okay. I will give it a 4.5 Tom Hanks.
You're cutting him in half.
cutting Tom in half. The top and the bottom of the movie just really upset me, just because I just really thought it was so short that it was like, just cut it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even a significant part of the movie that they tried to act like was significant. But for me personally, especially like some of his like later works, Tom Hanks, I really enjoy Elder Statesman Tom.
Oh yeah.
So like to go back and watch like 90s Tom.
Yeah.
Is very fun, but it's also, I like a few of his other works from that time.
Yeah.
So like to compare him to that, I was like, all right, this was a movie that Tom didn't have to do much.
Yes.
I know there's a lot of great acting moments in it, but I feel like I've seen Tom Hanks with Meteor.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? Meteor dialogue or a Meteor script, like, and like actually, you know, do stuff with it. So, but that's nitpicky as hell.
Yeah. This is like that's an so ensemble nitpicky thing. So
yeah,
he isn't given as much. Also, as we said, there's not a lot of talking about their characters. It's about showing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say I give this one a 5 Tom Hankses, but will I ever want to see it again? No.
Never.
Yeah. I have to keep reminding myself, don't watch this again.
I might watch it again.
You're going to watch it again?
I love war movies.
See, I do not.
Apocalypse Now is one of my favorite movies. Children of Men is the next one. Hurt Locker, not far behind. So that's
three
war movies.
Hated Hurt Locker. Hated it.
How, as someone who loves acting, could you hate Hurt Locker? That's like Jeremy Renner at his fucking best.
I don't like Jeremy Renner as a person.
I mean, it was good performances, but just as a movie, never have to see it again.
When he was in that cereal aisle and he's just lost, that gets me every time I start crying.
Because
he's just like,
it.
What is all this cereal? The only thing I understand is bombs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, well, you guys, do you have anything else to say about Tom Hanks?
I'm looking forward to the Mr. Rogers movie.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Damn.
I'm not looking forward to the Mr. Rogers movie.
Well, I am. Because
he doesn't have a dark side, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like biopics where, like, it's like you see them, like, their darkness in there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not trying to watch a movie about for an hour and a half of this nigga being pleasant.
I mean, it's very pleasant. I will say, though, after watching the documentary that came out last year, I think, right? Which actually made me cry because I was going into that thinking, like, we're going to see some stuff. Mm-hmm. But he's just so overwhelmingly pleasant.
Yeah.
You fall in love with it. Like, you fall in love with it, though.
Man.
I think you're just scared to fall in love with it.
No, run this by me.
Okay.
You start the trailer off, and it's like him doing the character, and then it's a hard cut, and he's backstage throwing a paper. That's not the fucking script that I wrote.
Oh, no.
Tell me that's not a better fucking movie, bro.
I mean, it's a better dramatized movie.
It's like they have only two, like some shit like that, where it's like they are like up against something, and they have to like fight hard to save the show. I want to see that.
Oh.
That's what I fucking love.
That would be bad. You should write it.
Yeah.
It's not real. It's not real.
It'll be like your Quentin Tarantino where you're rewriting history.
Yeah.
He was
actually an asshole who was trying to just get his show off. You know, his wife hated him. But he believed in this show and no one else believed in him. That's the movie I want to watch.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch this nigga smile at everybody and be like, hey, man, it's okay, you gay. No, don't be okay with this. That's a good movie.
It's a terrible movie. That's a terrible movie.
That's why I'm so excited for this Roger Ailes show on Showtime.
Because he's just like the...
I just want to see, like, they're making a movie about how Roger Ailes invented Fox News.
Oh.
And I'm so excited for it.
Because you just want to see the debauchery.
Those stories are what intrigue... Man, I got to send you the script for Showtime.
Okay.
It's a show coming out about the 80s Lakers and how
it
happened. It's crazy.
Derailing, Rachel.
It's crazy, bro.
Yeah,
and you already know it's going to be like the debauchery.
Will Tom Hanks be in it?
Yeah.
Maybe
Tom Hanks would be Jerry Buss.
Jerry Buss. I think he's too old to play Jerry Buss.
He is too old to play Jerry Buss from the 80s.
From the 80s.
Yeah.
You play Jerry Buss now.
You play Jerry Buss. Well,
which is dead.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
But now I'm looking forward to
Yeah, I'm sure he'll do great and probably get another Oscar.
I just want him to be nominated so he's there. He hasn't been there in a while because he hasn't been nominated. Yeah.
Interesting.
I love that. What are you going to nominate him for? Sully?
I thought he was good in that, too.
I can't land this plane.
You would like that movie because he had a dark side in it.
Yeah. I liked Flight better.
Flight was very
good. He didn't have a dark side. Everyone just trying to give him
a dark side.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's also very pleasant in that as well.
He's just a pleasant guy.
You know what? I will say this. It would be dope to see Tom Hanks play a villain.
Well, people have tried. It's very hard.
To get him to agree?
No, just for him to be unlikable character.
Yeah. What movies was he supposed to be a villain? Recently, I should say.
Oh, recently?
Wasn't he supposed to be a villain in Lady Killers?
Yeah.
With it was the Coen brothers, and that movie did not do well. And I think a part of the reason was no one believed that he would be this sociopath.
Also, there's one of his characters in Cloud Atlas is a villain, and I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen that
movie. What was that? Was it Thomas Crown? Was that one of his movies?
Thomas Crown Affair?
I don't know.
It was a comedy movie.
With Julia Roberts?
Yes.
Charlie Wilson. Yeah.
So apparently that movie was so bad. Or it was one of those movies. Someone in the theater came, or someone saw him having dinner in New York and was just like, that movie was terrible. And then he took out his wallet and paid them their ticket fee.
Oh, no.
He's such a likable guy.
Yeah, he's so likable. I'm so sorry. So likable. Here's a refund.
Yeah. I'm sorry you didn't enjoy the movie.
That's very funny.
Bonfire of the Vanities is the worst one I've seen so far.
One of his films.
And he's supposed to be a bad guy, but he's too likable, and it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Well,
somebody out there, write the next great script where you can make Tom Hanks a believable villain.
Ugh.
You do that, it's guaranteed Oscar.
But yeah. I think that even in that, he'd have to be a really likable person. That the character, the main character, would be an anti-hero.
He would have to be a Loki.
No, because Loki's still evil. I'm saying, but it would be likeable. Loki would be the main character in the movie, and Tom Hanks would just be his boss. Hey man, just make sure you get this, and you're rooting for Loki to get rid of this guy that's very likable. That's the only way you could pull it off.
You know what you could pull him off as?
Yeah.
If he did a character a la Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder.
Oh yeah.
You think so?
Tom Cruise
is fucking brash.
He is very, but that's what I'm saying. You would have to completely
change his face, change everything about him. Yeah, make him fat and
Yeah.
I don't think Tom Hanks would do that.
Maybe not.
But that was but you're right. That was the only way that Tom Cruise could be that is if you put him in the fat suit and make him all hairy. Because then you look at that person and go, that's how that person is.
Yeah. It's hard to make Tom Hanks not likable.
I'm on a mission now.
Yeah. Write it. I'll see it. Put it on this podcast.
All right. Let's do it.
Where can people find you guys?
You can find me on everything at Jackie's Neil.
You can find me on Twitter at Edgar Mobazier and on Instagram at Awfulgram.
Cool. And you guys host podcast Culture King.
Yeah. Check it out. Culture King's podcast everywhere you get them.
You guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Performing at UCB a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I haven't been promoting any UCB stuff.
It's okay.
Lately. Just because we're there all the time.
Yeah. You can see us anytime you want.
Yeah. it's not special anymore.
special to someone.
It is. Special to someone. So, social media is the best way to find out literally about everything that we're doing.
100%.
Cool.
Generally.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us talk about Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
It was fun. And thanks for listening. Bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast.